high heels on my tippies. Dolce & Gabbana on my titties. Hola, bonjour, motherfuckers. ¿Cómo estás? Bien? Bien, bien. Et tu? Bien? Fucking bien. Hi, hi, lovers. Hello, and how do you do? This week, welcome to Get Wood. I'm your hostess. With the damn mostest. Jess Wood, how are you? Good to see everybody. Hi, how was your week? Was it okay? What a wild world we wander about in, eh? Mm-hmm. Nice to see everybody. Thanks for showing up. And thank you for all your feedback last week. First and foremost, I just want to thank everyone who sent me the most wonderful feedback and compliments. And, oh, the hat was a huge hit. I didn't wear it, but I'm going to hold it for you. Yeah, the Jamiroquai future made of virtual insanity and a micro schmuckbo. But I cut my hair this week, so I thought, let me show off my cut. But I had to show you, I'm in the cut, and I had to show you the hat because I do have the story behind how I got this hat. It was nefarious. I don't know if that's the right word. It was a criminal situation. Anyway, first and secondly, besides my feedback love for you all and my love for you all so much, I want to say, hey, check out these snatch snake earrings that are so hot and sexy, seductive snakes from the babes at Babel Studio. So if you follow the Babel Studio, and I believe you can use Get Wood on checkout, you might be able to grab yourself a couple of bucks off. Also, this is from the Crystal Healing Shop. You could go follow her as well. These are both small businesses that I love to support. They're both in Albuquerque. What? Shout out to the Burkay. What's up, y'all? I miss you. And also love to those folks for sending me their love as well. There's a lot of, if you haven't noticed, there's a lot of love going on here. And you know what? I think that's important. It's very hard to find love out there in the world right now. So I'm here. I'm here for you. How do you do? Consistently on a Tuesday, how are you? Let's get into it. So the hat. Okay, so if you know me, you know I will often go to a cheap shop, like maybe you as well, a cheap clothing shop. Forever 41 is really my favorite. Shout out to Nadia Ginsburg for that little treasure. Forever 41, you know it. You may know it under a different name, but what a deal, what a goddamn steal and deal they have for us gals. And if you know, you know. Anyway, so I was at Forever the other day, Times Square, big, it's like a three-story store, and I'm in there and I'm wandering about, and I'm looking at the sales stuff, and there's a lot for sale, let me tell you. There's a lot of two-for-ones, a lot of cuteness going on over there. So I'm like going through some shit, and if you know me, you know I'm a sucker for hat. I usually wear a hat every week on the show. But as I said earlier, I did give myself what I think to be kind of a cute little sassy haircut. So I thought I'd let this shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. That's your love light. And so I'm walking around Forever, and I'm looking at the cute stuff that they have. And a lot of times they'll put a hat on a display. They'll have the hat and then like a bag and a pair of jeans. And it'll all be on a display, like on a shelf. So I say this because I wander over to a little rack. Now, this is a rack, not a shelf. This is a rack or a shelf. Come on. You gotta throw some titty in there once in a while. It's how you keep the people. Good stories. Great rack. Get Wood. Anyway, there's a hat on a rack. So there's coats that are hung, and then there's a hat on a rack. Oh, look at that noodle in the town. There's a hat on a rack, and I'm like, hat on a rack? What is that hat on the rack? And I like the way the hat looks. Well, if you saw this fur hat on a rack, thank you. I know my crowd. Thank you. De nada.
away.
If you were so, I'm so international, you guys. Anyway, the Jamiroquai hat is very furry and fuzzy. And if you're just listening to the audio, I will describe it to you. It is a bucket hat, but it's so large. You have to look up the Jamiroquai video to really get the real understanding of how large and fluffy and furry it is. But if you notice, it's like a mink in a whole situation. I think a mink. So I walk over to the where the rack is with this hat sitting on it. And I'm like, I look around, you know, there's a criminal look, you know, right? You kind of, who's around here? Anybody? And there's undercover shoppers all the time. There are mystery shoppers, they call them. I once looked into it, not enough to like get the job, but I was like, I wonder if I could mystery shop. And I didn't see anybody that looked like a copper. So, hey, copper. I see you, copper.
Oh, is there a cop around? There might be a flat foot in the distance, close nearby, and I can't take this hat and put it upon my head. But I did. That's right, folks. I took that furry hat, and I placed it right upon my head, not worried at all about any kind of bugs or diseases or any kind of... I don't worry about... You know, I was raised in the thrift shops. Before it was trendy. I know. It's very important that I tell you about my background. Raised a vegan witch on welfare. It'll take you to the thrift shops right there. Vegan witch on welfare. All before it was trendy. Thank you. And I know that's your... Also, some of you look up... that's your porn search. So thank you again. Anyhow, I saw this fucking hat. And I was like, let me... try that hat on. And I threw it on my head and I said, oh my God, first of all, my head is gigantic. I do have a very large head. Now, I know this because as a baby, the people around me called me Khrushchev. That's an old Russian man with a giant head. That can hurt your self-esteem. It can. Listen, I know I've had much more horrible trauma to come about in my life. And yet, the Khrushchev line, it sticks with me. So the hat fit my big Khrushchev head. And I thought, I wonder how much this hat is. And then I searched around for a ticket, a tag, they call it in the stores. Not a ticket, Jessica. Listen, I've smoked a lot of PCP. Anyway, no excuses. Drugs are bad, except for acid. And so I thought, well, there's no tag on this hat and there was no one around. I thought, well, maybe, but you know, I was scared that someone was going to want it back. I'm not going to lie to you. I never have before and I'm not going to start now. How would that do for our relationship and our love? I held on to this hat. I smushed it up and I put my other hat. That's right. I was wearing another hat because it is 20 fucking degrees here in New York. And I had another hat that I did disguise this hat with my other hat. And I made my way to the counter. And I did buy a couple of things. Actually, the shirt I was wearing in last week's show, I know, riveting facts. The shirt that I was wearing in last week's show was what I purchased at the Forever 41 shop in Times Square. And it had a rabbit on it, bunny. Remember last week I was wearing my cherry earrings and my kitty cat necklace and my bunny t-shirt. It was like, it was all just what my mom used to call my bathing suit that I had when I was 12 that she threw in the trash. Jesse, it just says fuck me all over it. Jesse, it says fuck me all over it. And I'm like, but you can't throw it away. My mom threw away a bathing suit that I had when I was 12. Growing up in Santa Monica, California, in a hotel room with my mom, vegan witch on welfare. And if you were a vegan witch on welfare and you were 12, what kind of bikini or bathing suit would you have picked out? And it was the 80s. So that's going to influence your choices. I had a zebra print. That's right. Zebra was very hip in the 80s. You guys, shut up. All the animal prints in the 80s, and I had on a zebra print one-piece bathing suit,
But really, was it one piece, Jesse? Jesse, the whole thing doesn't even cover your pussy. You know, like my mom would say, well, she didn't use the word pussy, she used the word cunt. Anyway, she would say, Jesse, I can see your cunt. You know, like, Oh, dear. So, it was zebra striped, one piece, but was it really one piece? Because it had separate panels that went down each preteen Jeffrey Epstein style titty. Sorry, I just watched the doc. The smallest preteen titty panel of zebra that tied behind my neck. And remember, this is all open here. Remember! Never forget. Forget 9/11. This is my 12-year-old tits we're talking about. So there was quite a large area of openness. And then the whole back was open except for the bottom bikini style. And then, so yes, mother, was it trampy? Sure, if you want to shame a child. We don't use those words anymore, okay? I wouldn't have slut-shamed me, even though I was 12. I was 12, and I was wearing this bikini. Anyway, the thing that my mom threw in the trash that I dug out of the trash, because how big really is your trash if you live in a hotel room? Not big. There's maybe one can in the corner. Anyway, God, that's the hat story. So I stole it. I stole the hat. That's right. I don't know. Someone left there very cold on their head. Perhaps. Maybe. It was a hat stealing. I don't know. Maybe I stole it from the store. What do you think? You know, I'm going to put it out to you, my friends, my fellow fucking wild people out there. What do you think? And what would you have done? Would you have gotten criminal-minded like your pal Jess? Or would you have said, you know what, I don't think that's for sale. And that's probably a lady who's wandering this store as well. And she might need to come back and put it on her head because it's very cold outside. No! It's mine! Like, I felt like Daffy Duck when he and Bugs Bunny, remember, took a wrong turn at Albuquerque. Mm-hmm, it was one of those episodes. And they come across this giant a cave filled with jewels and treasure. And and Daffy Duck's like, it's mine, mine, all mine. And he gets fucking crazy because he's a crackhead. I mean, did we discuss this in the early days of watching these? And I think that's why Gen X, most of us don't have a problem with guys who want to wear dresses or any of that. Because you know why? We grew up on Bugs Bunny. No price tag means it's free. God damn, that's right. God damn, the Pusher Man. Uma Thurman, Pulp Fiction. Anyway, I had a job interview this week. You say job? Jessica. Jessica Wood. Isn't this your job? Why, you're such a wondrous entertainer. Your stories secrete a certain seduction to our ears. How is it that you need to work a regular job like a peasant? Well, if you all would send your donations to P.O. Box, free Jess Wood from the patriarchy. P.O. Box 69! All right, so I was on a job interview. I went to Cortelyou Road. If anyone knows Cortelyou Road in Brooklyn, why, it used to be a very funky, funky part of town, and now it's quite boutique-y. Everything's got a fucking boutique in it. Listen, as I said starting the show, I love to support a small business. I love, you know, support my friends in Albuquerque. They're wonderful and amazing people. I'm sure they're wonderful and amazing people on Cortelyou Road as well. But don't charge $60 for a scarf. You know what I mean? It's handmade. It's artisanal. Everything's artisanal now in Brooklyn. So I go to this job interview. The fucking guy is a half an hour late. The guy who's giving the job interview. Half an hour late, suck my clitoris, sir. And, well, I don't really have a lot going on, but I do have, you know, I do like my moments that I have left in my life. And I wouldn't like to sit in the middle of your slow fucking place where there's not one customer as I'm sitting here. Anyway, I asked the gentleman, there was another guy there because he fucking scheduled two people at the same time and then wasn't even there. Stop it. Cotelli Road, does it, artisanal cheese shop? I'm sure it does, Ron. I'm sure it does have an artisanal cheese shop. Because it's very quaint. And there were 17 strollers when I walked back to the fucking subway stop. And I like ran into one on accident, or she really ran into me, this fucking mom. Babies first, you know. Get the goddamn stroller out of here. It's Brooklyn. It's a new Brooklyn. Stroller Brooklyn. Anyway, I struck up a conversation with the gentleman who was also waiting for a job interview from the fakakta dude that was fucking half an hour late. So I go, hey, because this is what you ask people in New York. You tell me, New Yorkers out there, you know. And also, I guess in California, this could work for you too, because, and in Albuquerque, all right, it could work anywhere. Sometimes you talk yourself right into the truth, don't you? You see it on me, don't you? I can't hide from you. I can't hide from myself, because you know what? I fucking stare into my eyes through this whole thing. Hello. I love you. You're doing wonderfully. Thank you. Anyway, I asked this guy, is what we ask people during the winter, winter months where there's winter. I said, hey, man, how's your heat? Because, you know, people get pissed off. Gee, I've told you this before. People get pissed off when I say to them, hey, what are you doing for fun right now? Or, hey, what's keeping you happy? People are like, what? How dare you? What are you, not American? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like when you're American, you don't think about fun. Except on the 4th of July and Thanksgiving. You know, all these bullshit fucking holidays. I sound like my mom. I know. Jesse, don't sound ashamed when you say you sound like me. I had very, very good ideas about the hippies. The hippies were right, Jesse, about way more than what you are willing to admit. We were right about the food, the air pollution, the population control, climate change. Okay, Mom, thanks. Anyway, I asked this fucking guy, how's your heat in your apartment? And he goes, I'm still thinking about my mom. So, Jesse, you're always thinking. Okay, thank you. Uncontrollable spirit calls, perhaps. Hello, doctor. This man went on for a fucking 15-minute rant about heat. And about New York City, and about how the heat is different, and now they're going to redo all the heat here, and you're going to start to get charged for the heat, and your rent's going to go, the heat. And I was like, fuck, man, I really uncorked a... The minute you walked in the room, I could tell you were a real big spender. Why do I... Because I don't pop my cork for every guy I meet. All right, finally the guy showed up for the job interview a half an hour late after the heat rant from my fellow friend at the bar. And then the gentleman in charge, he had a backpack and he was over 40. And you know what? I have a backpack that I carry and I'm over 40, but he was late. Anyway, if you have a backpack, you should probably be on time. What's in the backpack? Bunch of shit that you can't tell you what the time is? Is it weighing you down and making you late? Good God. Anyway. Yes, I remember song lyrics, Maureen. Please follow Maureen Dren. If you love photos and you like to be moved by frames of featured... Why am I trying to say thing every word with the same... What is that called? You guys know it because you're very smart. Anyway, the job interviewer was horrible. He asked me the same questions 3 times in a row, but differently. differently he asked them. Like, for instance, he would say, "So, are you working at another job right now?" And I would reply, "Yes, I am, but just one day a week." And then he would say, literally fucking 3 seconds later, "So, there's a job that you have right now? Is that right? You're working right now? Motherfucker, I'll burn this place to the ground." And you know what? No one would get hurt because there's no one here because this is fucking awful place. And he says to me, he goes, "So you want to work at a slow bar?" And I said, "No." I said, "No." Like, immediately. Like, suck my goddamn clitoris. Again, I don't say dick because they don't have a dick. But gosh darn it, if I did. Like Nicki Minaj said, if I had a dick, I'd pull it out and piss on him. I know. She's adorable. Fuck the club up. That's what I say. Anyhow, I threatened last week. You know, my mom hates that voice. You know, my mom, like, "Oh God, Jesse, don't ever do that voice. The white woman who's horrifying." Like, okay. We're white women. Anyway, self-hatred is a big job. It's exhausting. I say stop it. Anyway, I'd like to say reviews that I threatened you last week with a good time, and I gave it to you. I threatened you last week with the notion of you all sending me those movie reviews that you did. Movie reviews? What is that, like Rural Juror? You know, the 30 Rock. Listen, if you also suffer and struggle from ADHD, you might enjoy Get Wood Podcast. So anyhow, I asked you if I could please read your reviews of the movie. And two women who listen to the show, who I love, sent in reviews. And I'm just going to, I really did paraphrase a few. I'm not paraphrase, but I wrote down just the juicy parts. Yeah? I'd like to suck that. No, it wasn't like that kind of juicy. It was more like the words that they use. First of all, the first one is from a listener, may I say fan, friend, female, fantastic, pole dancing extreme lover. She is called Dahlia. And Dahlia wrote about the movie Unpregnant that I recommended you all watch that came out in 2020. That's a fucking wonderful movie. Fuck Barbie, get Unpregnant. Well, not fuck Barbie. It made ladies be nice to each other. So I should actually be okay with it. I just didn't think it was that big of a deal, Mattel. Anyway, and it was also really about a guy. Anyways, Unpregnant and your reviews. Dahlia said, "Gratifying," all in capital letters with an exclamation point. So those of you who know, she yelled it. "Gratifying! Super suspenseful. I'm so happy they wrote the character the way that they did. She never let anyone change her mind. So many oh no moments. There needs to be more super confident and strong young adult female leads like this. Such an important movie," again, in all caps with an exclamation point. So really, the thing, I mean, super confident and strong young adult female leads. You know, right? Yeah. Yeah. What? Yeah. Yeah. It's too close to Thanksgiving to be such a jive turkey. Yeah. Trading Places. Thank you. Holly, another fan, friend, listener, fantastical female, said, "The movie was amazing!" Exclamation point. "I loved everything they did. Important movie." All caps. Exclamation point. So really, if you haven't watched Unpregnant yet, please go and watch it. And especially if you have any young women in your life, like young adult women, I don't know, she's in, the main character is 17. So I think you can get down and get funky and get back up again. Perhaps starting around, I don't know, 10 or 11. Because, you know, these days the kids, they can see so much before they're older and they're just exposed to so much, you know. So I think we need to give them more positive role models. I know, isn't that funny? Isn't that fucking weird that I would say that? But not weird, really, but... Like, I came up, like, with Eminem, you know, saying, like, I'm not a fucking role model. But then now he's like, well, I wouldn't have let my little girl listen to my music either. And if you did, you're not really being a parent. And so, like, I feel like as we live, we learn. All right. So there was a train derailment right by it was my subway stop. I know. Fucking New York City is falling apart. There have been buildings that have fallen down. Just the sides of the building have crumbled. The subways, there have been 22 derailments just in the past couple of months. And that's why I believe every weekend is fucked up, because the trains are getting worked on. The tracks are getting worked on. And it never happened. Like, there are a couple people in this chat right now who are watching, listening, who know, and you all have been here as long as I have. Some of us have been here longer than some of you have been alive that are in the room right now. I fucking can't even, anyway. But you're my type anyway, youngster. Hello. It's appropriate. Don't worry. They're in their appropriate age. Anyway, when we were young and we showed up here in the city, and some of us were born and raised here, Maureen, and in Manhattan, I know you can't even meet anybody who's ever born and raised in Manhattan anymore. Like, you don't even meet anybody who's like raised and born and raised in Brooklyn anymore. Like, you don't. Last night I had the best subway fucking story and experience with this guy that had come on. I was like, hey, now I don't know how we had started, like, all of a sudden we had started like seeing each other, and we were like, hey, and he was with another guy and I was with like a couple people from my class last night from Midtown, because I'll take an acting class. I know, shut up, I'm good. So he and I started talking, and I said, well, you know, old New York, I hate to like sound like an elderly, and he goes, no, in old New York. And he was like this Puerto Rican guy that was my age, and he had a cap on and it was kind of tilted to the side and up, you know, like old school New York, like, how you doing? And I was like, nobody even says Happy New Year's anymore. Like, Happy New Year's, Happy New Year's. And he's like, I know, right? Like, still Happy New Year's, like till like February. That's the thing. You have to be celebratory. Like, everybody wants to talk shit about New York City and be like, oh, it's so crazy. They're so uptight, they're so upset, they're so angry, they're so mean. No, motherfucker, you are. No, motherfucker, you're fucking mean. Because why? You're not celebrating. And my teacher said it best last week. She said, yeah, because there's no more blue collar in the city. So, you know, it was really the blue collar folks that are like excited to have like a moment, celebrate. Now there's all these richos everywhere, and they're like, what rooftop should we go have cocktails at tonight? What rooftop should we go to our secret speakeasy? You know, like, suck a titty. High heels on my tippy. So the subway story with that guy, he was so fucking cute, you guys. He was so my type. Like, his teeth were kind of mangled, and he was like, I don't even know, but I know that we're not the same anymore, and look at you. Well, at least we're here. And he said shit to me that I usually say to other people. Like I usually say to people, if that conversation happens on the train, which it does, I'll say to people like, oh, well, at least we're here, at least we're still doing it, you know. And he said that to me. And you know, when you have a like-mindedness about people, with people, with other people, like, you have a like-minded, like, you think the thoughts that they had thought as well, and you're like, and then your pussy's like, juice. And then I'm like, that's my type. And then he exited the train, but at Delancey. So maybe if I got off the train at Delancey Street, I could walk around the neighborhood. Because, you know, it's very different over on Delancey Street now. It used to be where I got my dope. Oh my God, I'm almost done with the show and I didn't even tell you. Okay, so listen, I have to tell. Because I promoed the show all week with the story about the commercial that I did for Carnival Cruise Lines in Florida, that they took us to Florida. Oh, Florida. Fucking Florida. 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 Is the Miami? No. Is the South Beach? No. Is the Orlando? Sí. Delancey Street. Yeah, Delancey Street is legendary, Ron. And, you know, it's not anymore. Now it has a fucking Starbucks and artisanal coffee place. Could suck. I'm one of those crankers that's like, old New York was better. And people go, yeah, but you know what? This is now. You preach a lot of Buddhist shit, Jessica. Why don't you get with it and be here motherfucking now? Urker. So I'm going to leave here now and tell you the story of when I booked a commercial because, yes, I'm an actor. You knew I was. Delancey Street was like Ratner's kosher restaurant that had Lansky Lounge. Hey, Nichelle. Oh, my goodness. I have love for you and missings for you. I would like a hug. Look at Ron. You guys, I love when people see each other in the chat and get and say hi. And oh my God, there's so much love right here. Anyway, I, being the actor that I am, I went on a casting for a Carnival Cruise Line. And I remember when my agent sent me the breakdown. And a breakdown is what the people are looking for, like what is the character they're looking for, and the breakdown said this woman buys her menthol cigarettes at 7-Eleven, and I was like, oh, I know her, she wears a side ponytail. First and foremost, she wears a side ponytail. Secondly, she has a leopard skin. What did I tell you about animal prints? She has a leopard skin hoodie that zips up, very tight jeans, and candy. Do you know the candy high heels? They're kind of flip. They kind of flip flop. Candies. She don't candies. Anyway, that's another very generational X situation reference. Anyway, I'm wearing these little kitteny kind of flip floppy high heels. Tight jeans, leopard skin hoodie, hair in the side ponytail, because, bitch, I get my fucking menthol cigarettes at 7-Eleven, okay? So I get a call back for it, and what the thing is they're casting also my husband, my nephew, and my nephew's girlfriend all for this commercial, okay? So I did put the commercial up on the... yes, candies, wooden heels, exactly, shell. So, Shell's General Store, Shwana. If you're in the West LA area or Santa Monica area, please visit Shell's General Store at all the pop-ups that come around you. The badass babes that are the roller derbies, the hoagies on Venice. Anyway, so I get a call back for this delightful character who buys her menthols at 7-Eleven. I get a call back for this commercial. I go to the callback. Now, at the callback, it are the director, the writer, the, you know, a bunch of the clients. What they call the clients. And I come in, and they read me with a different husband, a different nephew, a different nephew's girlfriend. And so we're all getting broken up into these groups, different groups, right? We're all going, coming in and coming out together of the room. Now, at one point, the director comes up to me and he says, I really love the costume that you put together for this character. And yo, I had to zip my motherfucking lip because this was not a costume. Mind you, this was an outfit that I often would put together for my own self to wear. Now, yes, I guess you could say I did often look like a woman who went to the 7-Eleven for her menthol cigarettes, but let's just say it was my look. So I just giggled and said, good. I'm so glad. Cut to, we get the commercial. The commercial is now booked. And I am on a flight to Florida. And on said flight, the one of the clients who's on the flight says to me, "Now, you know, we're going to be putting you in a bathing suit."
"Your friend Jess is quite tattooed."
And I'd worn long sleeves and long jeans to the callback. How would they know? So I said, I hope it's not a problem that I have a bunch of tattoos. And they said, "Oh, how many tattoos do you have?" I've said, like 14, you know, and they're like, "Oh." So they said, "Well, we're sure there's makeup for it, you know, and stuff like that." So I said, "All right." So we get down there, and I neglected to tell you that I did make friends with people in the waiting room on the callback. One was a boy called Steven, and he was there to play my nephew, and he had gotten cast as my nephew. So it was such a joy to get to see him in Orlando, Florida. Orlando. It is the home of Disney, but if you're not going to Disney, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Unless you stay in the goddamn hotel. Because listen, I'm there to work. I'm there on a commercial. There's a lot of money involved. There's a huge client involved, Carnival Cruise. There's, you know, they need me on the set in the morning at the particular time. And the set is a house on a row of really horrible looking houses. This is real life, not built. And they've installed, or maybe it was already there, an outside above ground pool out in front of the house that we're shooting at. And so there's an above ground pool. There's a deer with a target on its chest that you can shoot for target practice, you know, because bow and arrow, it's what we do in Florida. Well, we use the bow and arrow a lot. You know, we don't believe in, you know, we think like the guns is like, it's like shooting fish in a barrel. But you get yourself a bow and arrow, you really got to train hard, and you got to pull that bow back and get that, you know, real taut and that. So we're down there, and I see that the boy who's been cast as my nephew is Steven, and we're chatting, and I inevitably ask him if he's got any weed. Because remember, I've traveled under their money. I've traveled under their work, their commercial. It's the Carnival Cruise people. So I didn't want to bring weed. What if I got busted with weed? It's not a great look. I'm trying to, you know, work as an actor. But this does not stop me. When I hear that Steven doesn't have my nephew, doesn't have any weed on him, this does not stop me from immediately taking myself out of the safety of the hotel and going to the streets of Orlando to perhaps, you know, make a deal. What the fuck did I think I was going to do? And it's just the way that I was raised. I mean, not raised. I wasn't raised. So this is the way that I grew up. Is you want something, you go to the streets. What do you want, kiddo? You take it to the streets. You know, like, what? I wanted some weed. It's Orlando. It's Florida. There's obviously drugs everywhere in this town. Where can I get some? And who can I talk to about it? So I take myself out of the safety of the hotel. Immediately, I'm not even at the corner of the block from the hotel yet. Immediately, a very shady, my type, white man, I don't sometimes, comes out of a storefront. I don't even know. He just appears, and he's got a towel hanging from his waist. Not like a beach towel, more like a bar towel. But I asked him, "Hey, you coming out of work?" And he goes, "No, what?" And I should have taken that as being maybe a red flag. I didn't. I then proceeded to ask him, "You know where to get any weed?" And he goes, "Oh yeah, totally. Come on, come with me." And I'm just like, I've been coming with me, people, since I'm, you know, 13, 12, 13. You got any weed? Come with me. All right. I end up in a cave under the Palisades in Santa Monica. I end up in some sort of trap house in New York City. I don't care. Who's got the weed? You know, this is, you'd think I would grow out of that by now. Anyway, last night I said to somebody, "Oh, we've got to smoke weed together." Anyway, I start to walk with this gentleman to a park, just a, like, we could talk parks, right? Let's chat about some parks. Do you know a good park in the daytime when there's nothing? Listen, if you've ever been to Orlando, not to the theme park of Disney, but Orlando proper, boy, you should. Careful. Don't stay at the hotel. We start to approach this park. And I'm like, oh, no. Now, what I see, I obviously think, well, I could probably get any drug here, not just the weed, but I'm thinking there's people tying off and there's smoking crack and oh my goodness, this is just a party. Party at the park. And he sees my face. I'm looking at all this action in the middle of the park, and I'm thinking about why I'm even in Orlando. All of a sudden I'm getting my clarity is coming to me, and I'm thinking to myself, Jessica, you're an actor. You listen, act stoned, you fucking get out of there. What are you doing? You're putting yourself on the line. You're putting your safety on the line. You're putting your job on the line. You're putting, what the fuck? This man with a towel? Come on, turn it around. So something, somehow, somewhere inside of me jostled my brain cells, you know, my 17 that I had left at that moment, and said, hey, lady, you're worth more than this. Oh my God, did it just get like self-helpy in here? But really, that's the thing. We have to know that we're worth it enough. And sometimes something comes, maybe it was a spirit of one of my dead friends being like, bitch, are you fucking crazy? And they just like pulled me back. And I was like, yeah, I gotta go back to the hotel. And then I went back to the hotel, and Stephen, and he's from Texas, so I can say this, bless his heart. He was like, Jess, you did not go outside. They told us not to go outside. And I was like, they did? And I don't want to judge myself, but really that's how out of it I was, and how on the move for like some, listen, if I drank alcohol, I'd be fine. Just have a fucking drink, calm down, get your panties out of a bunch. I used to say that to my mom, and she'd say, Jesse, you know I don't wear underpants. Anyway, I can't believe I didn't get to tell you the whole derailment, but I will. I'll tell you that next week, because look, we're at 42 minutes. I usually do 30. And yeah, you had fun. I had fun. We had so much fun. I can't even believe it's over. I like to leave you wanting more. I know I told you just for a second, I kind of mentioned that I had watched the Epstein documentary, and I talked to someone about it this week, and she said, wasn't the old one you saw? And I said, I don't know. I feel like they redid. No, I'm not telling you to watch it. I am not telling you to watch it. How about don't watch it? I don't have anything. You know what's weird is some weeks, not weird, I guess, but some weeks I just don't watch TV. I mean, I watched the Epstein thing, but that was, I think, do you ever watch, look at, I'm here to make notes. Do you ever watch something and notice that you're like, oh, I'm watching this to make my, like a horror movie or something that triggers old shit for you, like with the Epstein thing for me, I'm like, why would I watch this? I had this happen. Like, why would I? I mean, I wasn't an Epstein girl, which I have to say, and I'll end it with this. I was sex trafficked by my friend's grandma. We used to go and date, you know, date these old men in Beverly Hills. And they would peel off a cool 20 afterwards, and we thought we were fucking rich. Now, I watched this Epstein documentary, and I'm like, $200? Motherfucker, I got ripped off. $200? Anyway, so listen, some maybe let's look at what we have to be grateful for. So so sick. And, you know, I can't end without getting a complete laugh out of everyone, or a few of you at least. Anyways, I love you so much for being here. I love you so much for all your feedback. I love you so much for your support. I love you so much. I can't even get enough of you. You know what I love the most is when you share my show, share this show. Don't others also deserve to have fun? Don't others also deserve to laugh like you have laughed? Learn like you have learned. Enjoy your day like you've enjoyed your day. Please enjoy your week. I love you so much. And I really mean it, because I'm practicing loving my own self. So I see myself in the mirror and I'm like, Stuart Smalley, you are enough. You're good enough. And people really do love you. I love you. All right. If you got all those references, please share the show with all your friends who would also get all the references. And please let me know what you're watching, and I would love to watch it. I got a great recommendation this week from Dahlia. So thank you, my lovely, lovely lady. Uh-oh, running out of juice. Look at that, running out of juice. I love you so much for watching. Have a great rest of your week. I will talk to you all so soon. Don't do anything you don't want to do. And please be gentle on yourself. If you do shit, if you end up doing shit or thinking shit that's like fucking with you, just go, oh yeah, you're right, right. It's fucking with me. It's all we can do. Okay? Okay. Love you. I mean it. No, you hang up first. Shut up. I love you. Okay, bye. 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 Okay, bye. Yes. No. What? Yes.